Well, good morning once again, and welcome, and a special welcome to all who are joining us today through the internet. It's a good day, amen. It is Thanksgiving weekend and turkey time, at least for most of us, except Diane said they don't do turkey on Thanksgiving. But anyways, it's a good time of the year. Well, this morning I want to talk to us about Thanksgiving, and you know, how much can you say about Thanksgiving? I was thinking back over the years, and this is what, the 13th sermon I've given on Thanksgiving, and not that I remembered or even saved all of the things that I've said, but as I began to think and focus on Thanksgiving for this weekend, of course, the Lord opened up my eyes to see some things that I'm going to share with us this morning that maybe you didn't see or know about Thanksgiving. And because I think there are so many things in the Word of God that are mentioned over and over again, and even by the repetition and the amount of times they are spoken about, we really should stop and ask ourselves, this must be very important. Because when you repeat something over and over again, it's like this is an important part of our life. Amen. So today, if you want to give it a title, I want to talk about the reason for Thanksgiving. And in the natural or in the world, Thanksgiving is a day that has been set aside or designated for the giving of thanks. Duh. A day when many people all over the world, well, I guess not everybody celebrates Thanksgiving at the same time, do they? But okay, in our little world, people take the time either at church or maybe around a family dinner or whatever, however you celebrate Thanksgiving is fine with, you know, whether you're at church or at home, it doesn't matter. You can still be thankful, right, is what I'm trying to say. And so it's the time of year where people take the time, either at church or home, to ponder all the things that they're thankful for. I mean, I know in some families they sit around the table and each one takes a turn and I'm thankful for this, I'm thankful for that, and everybody goes around the table and they do that before they partake of Thanksgiving supper. That's fine. That's good. That's wonderful. It gets the kids involved, eh? It gets you thinking about maybe what you're thankful for, amen? So in other words, we're taking account of our many blessings. Counting our many blessings. I think there's even a song called Count Your Many Blessings. And you know, that's great. I'm not against doing any of these things or celebrating Thanksgiving in this way. But you know, for the Christian, for you and me, Thanksgiving or the giving of thanks ought to be so, so much more than just counting your blessings once a year. You know, or even once a week. Thanksgiving ought to be more than just that. In fact, the Bible has much to say about Thanksgiving and about and things that I think you and I really need to understand and to know. Now, the first thing I wanted to say about Thanksgiving is this. Thanksgiving is not a day that we give thanks. Okay? A lot of people, when you say Thanksgiving, they think of second long weekend in October, the day you give thanks. It's the day you kill the turkey. It's the day, you know, that is not what Thanksgiving is. It is not a day to give thanks. Thanksgiving is an attitude. It's not a day. It's an attitude. And the New Testament saints, you and I, we are told to give thanks for all things at all times. Always for all things is the actual wording. Unto God our Father, in the name of Jesus. Now, I want you to listen carefully. I'm going to go through a bunch of places in the Bible where it talks about you and I and how Thanksgiving ought to be a part of our lives. Now, it's important you listen because we're going to go on and we're going to come back and we're going to start opening up some of these scriptures and you're going to see some things about Thanksgiving that I know you have never heard before, okay? So, we're going to start with Ephesians 5:20. It says, we are told to give thanks always for all things unto God our Father in the name of Jesus. Then in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, it says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all of these things in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says this, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. You may even want to underline thanksgiving in all these scriptures. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. Pray without ceasing. What does that mean, Adam? Pray without ceasing. Exactly. That ought to tell us what prayer really is and what prayer is not. Prayer is not getting into a room, closing the door, and getting on your knees. And I mean, that is prayer. Don't get me wrong. That is part of prayer. But that is not what this is talking about, because none of us can stay in a room on our knees all day long. And if we're going to obey the word of God, if we're going to believe the word of God, that's what we would have to do if that's how we saw prayer. Okay? That isn't prayer. Prayer that this is talking, this type of prayer, you'll see later what we're talking about. But it says, pray without ceasing. In everything. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Philippians 4, 6. Be careful for nothing. When the Bible says be careful for nothing, what does that mean? That means don't have a care. Don't take a care. In other words, cast all your cares on him. So in other words, be careless. Not meaning careless in the way we think of it, but do not have a care in your life or a worry or an anxiety. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God with thanksgiving. Colossians 2, 6, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and stable in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a big part of the Christian life, a big part. And we can clearly see from these passages of scriptures that it is so, so, so much more than just once a year setting aside a day to be thankful for all of our blessings and all of the goodness of God. And we can clearly also see that it means much, much more than just the polite mannerism that we teach our children. Now, there again, I'm not against us teaching our children to be thankful. We teach them from little on, right, Adam? When someone gives something to you or helps you out, the right thing or the polite thing to say is thank you. And we teach our children, what do you say? You know, you give them something, what do you say? You know, I were trying to get Jonathan to say thank you. Actually, he does say thank you. He doesn't say please. I don't know why, but he does say thank you. Oh, yeah. So it's part of teaching children the polite, the manners, right? And all of us who have had children have done that. I mean, I remember teaching my children that it's important when someone gives you something, what do you say? You know, say thank you. You know, well, thank you, they go. And like I say, we all went through that. But what I'm talking about here this morning is so much more than just that, just saying thank you when someone does something nice to you. And in fact, how we teach our children and what we teach our children about Thanksgiving is exactly the opposite of the way Thanksgiving works in the kingdom of God. Exactly the opposite. And I think that's why we don't get a lot of it. A lot, even reading the scriptures, sometimes we're a little bit puzzled and it's like, whoa, this is more than I can handle. This is more than I can do. But it's because we misunderstand. We're looking at it through the eyes and through the understanding of thankful thanksgiving in the natural, in this world. How we teach our children to be thankful when they are given something and or helped with something. So in the kingdom of God is exactly the opposite. And I know that if you and I want to ever live in the kingdom of God on the earth, like Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have an abundant life, where? Not in the next life, but here on the earth. Then being thankful and understanding thankfulness, I'm going to tell you today, is not optional. It's not an option. If you want to enjoy the abundant life that Jesus died to give you, thankfulness is not optional, Steve. So you need to understand what it means. what it's all about, so that you can walk in the kingdom life. So being thankful is very, very important. And I want us to go to the Word of God now, and I want to show us why God's kingdom principle of thankfulness is so important and how it works, how it actually works towards your good and mine. Having a thankful attitude all the time. Come on, no murmuring, no complaining ever. Be thankful at all times, the Bible says. Continually. Does anybody know what that means? Continually. How do you and I arrive at that state? How? You know, in the natural, it almost seems, well, it is impossible in the natural, because there is always going to be something or someone to complain about, to be upset with, not to be thankful for, right? That's just life. Every day you are faced with the same challenges. You can either murmur and complain about your job or your coworker, your boss, your spouse, your kids, whatever. We complain about a lot of things. Or you can be thankful. I want to talk about how you and I are going to arrive at that state of continually offering up thankfulness to God. Having this thankful attitude, how do we get there? I want us to open up our Bibles this morning, turn to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Hebrews 13, 15. Okay, left my Bible. Everybody's there? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer, by who is him? Jesus. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. What is the sacrifice that we now offer before God? In the Old Testament, they brought animals, they brought, you know, God says here, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. There's the word again. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. First thing I want to point out is this from the scripture. It does what it does not say. It does not say, let us offer the work of our mouth or the works of our lips, giving thanks. It says the fruit of our lips. There's a big difference. In other words, being thankful is not a work of your flesh. It is a fruit. The fruit of your mouth. In other words, you can be thankful and say thank you all day long, but if it does not come from your heart, if it is not sincere, I mean, I can tell you, Steve, you be thankful all day long and every day. And Steve gets up every morning and sets the alarm in his head, sets that little thing and says, okay, be thankful, be thankful, be thankful. So he goes about all day and says, thank you, Lord, thank you this, thank you for that. But he doesn't mean it. It's not coming from his heart. You can do that every day, all day, and there's no power in it. The only thing it's going to bring you is a dry mouth. Do you understand? Because it is a fruit. It's not a work. It is not a work of the flesh. You're not just saying thank you. If it's not coming from the heart, it's not fruit. It's a work. And that is hard. It would be hard to continue to give thanks if you're always constantly having to make yourself do it. How many of us could ever do that continually? Not a one. Murmuring, complaining comes much easier. Amen? We don't have to get up in the morning and say, okay, today I'm going to complain. No, that just comes natural. Oh, boy. So it must come from the heart. It must be sincere or there's no power in it. Now, the Bible tells us that out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth is going to speak. So thankfulness is really the fruit that is produced from a heart that has a revelation of God's goodness. The goodness of God that was demonstrated to you and I through Christ. God demonstrated his love to you through the cross, okay? That's how we know God loves us. That's how much God loves us. You look at that cross, you look at what Jesus did for you, that is God's love demonstrated for you to see. So, thankfulness is the fruit that is produced from a heart that has a revelation of that. Now, when I say a revelation, I'm talking about it becomes a reality to someone. I'm not talking about just knowing these truths. You heard them in church, or you know, Christ died for my sins, he hung on a cross, he suffered, he died, all of those things. People know that. But when you really see it for yourself, when it becomes real to you, and you know he died for you, that was him hanging on that cross specifically for your sin, then that's what I mean. It becomes a revelation. It becomes wow. That produces the fruit of thanksgiving. You're overwhelmed and you know, you start to praise God. Thankfulness flows out of a heart that the grace of God has been revealed to. People who have a hard time being thankful, how many people you say, oh, you should be thankful, what have I got to be thankful for? Look at my situation. We think we are thankful, we gauge thankfulness according to what we see in our natural. But real thankfulness comes from the heart, okay? So people who have a hard time being thankful or full of thanksgiving toward God do not know or don't have the revelation of the grace of God through Jesus Christ. They do not have that revelation of his goodness, his kindness, freely given toward us. If you only understood God's goodness towards you, and it's free, and when you finally see that in your heart, that's what the grace of God is. I tell you what, you are going to be thankful. When we see that God's grace or this favor and all of his blessings, not just a few, all of his blessings are his gifts to us. They are freely given. A gift is free. If it's not free, it's not a gift. And all of the things God has given to us as a gift, all his favor, all because of Jesus, then of course, thankfulness is a natural response. Right? I mean, when someone overwhelms you with a good thing, what's your first response? You don't have to get yourself over in the corner and say, now say thank you, Al. You got to get back there and be polite. No, you're overwhelmed on the inside from someone. When someone shows you, stoops towards you in an extra special way or a way that you know darn well you don't deserve it and shows you goodness and kindness, of course you're only, what else can you say? It's like, thank you. Thank you so much. You know, either that or we say, oh, no, I can't take it. I mean, no, I just can't accept it. But no, thankfulness is effortless. It is our response. It is the fruit of the goodness of God and his free gifts to us revealed. That's what thankfulness is. Okay? Make sense? And in fact, when someone overwhelms you with their goodness and kindness in your life, you cannot stop your lips from being thankful. You cannot stop that gratefulness rising up in your heart, because really it's part of the spirit to be thankful, okay? You cannot stop praising God and thanking him for his good things. In other words, our heart becomes overwhelmed with thanksgiving. Has that ever happened to anybody here? Yes. And the more you understand the grace of God, the more overwhelmed you will become on the inside. And the more thankfulness will be coming out of your mouth. Because out of the abundance of the heart, what's in your heart, when you see the grace of God in your heart, it overwhelms you and your mouth takes over and you begin to praise and thank God. But what most of us don't really see or know is that thanksgiving, listen carefully, is the power or the channel to yours and my receiving from God. It is the channel or the power to our receiving. Receiving what? Receiving what God has already freely given. So many times in our Christian life, we know the word and the will of God. We see it as ours through Christ, but we've said and we struggle with receiving it. How many of us have said, why is it so hard to receive things from God? As Christians, you know, we're walking by faith, believing God for healing or prosperity, whatever the promise or the gift God has given you, you're believing God for it, but it's not seeming to happen. And you think, man, I've done everything. I really believe it in my heart. Why is receiving so hard? Well, the channel to your receiving or the power to your receiving, because you cannot force yourself to receive, you see. It's all fruit. It's all by the Holy Spirit. It is thanksgiving. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, that we are to give thanks for all things in the name of Jesus. You know, we pride ourselves in saying, no, the Bible doesn't say give thanks for all things. It says give thanks in all things. It says it both ways. So how do we give thanks for all things? So does that mean when I'm sick? You've seen a lot of Christians believe that. When you get sick or attacked by the enemy in any way, we're supposed to just give thanks for that. Because you just don't know how God is going to work it all out, and he's using that in your life to bring blessing to you. Because if you hadn't got sick, bless God, you wouldn't have got saved. No, that is not what that means. Give thanks for all things in the name of Jesus. The reason we misunderstand that is because we're looking at it through the natural. Because when you train your children, Emily, when you were growing up, your mom said, you be thankful for whatever anybody gives to you, or you be thankful for things. In other words, you say thanks when it's given. Okay? In the kingdom of God, I just said, it's opposite. You give thanks before you receive it, before it is actually in your hand in the natural. And so therefore, it says, give thanks for all things, meaning if you have a need in your life of a thing, no matter what it is, you give thanks for that, not for the things that have already transpired, like sickness, disease, poverty. That's not what it's talking about. You give thanks for the thing that you need, Lorelei, in all things, for all things, whatever it is you need, you give thanks for it ahead of time, before you see it. So the scripture is not referring to the things that you have already received, but the things that you are hoping to receive, which is faith. In God's kingdom, we are told to give thanks before we receive it in the natural. And it's not talking about giving thanks for the things that are evil. Whatever negative circumstances that come into your life, you are not giving thanks for those things. But you give thanks for the answer, for the rescue, the deliverance from those evil things. We don't need sickness and disease in our bodies. We don't need any of the evils the enemy brings along. And God doesn't send them to teach us anything either. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, as we read earlier, it says to pray without ceasing. In another place it says, make all your prayer requests made known to God with thanksgiving. So how is this all tied together? Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Be ye thankful at all times, continually being thankful. It's telling us how to walk in life, how to live. Every day we have need of things, all kinds of things. Sometimes big things, sometimes little things. And the Bible is telling us here that we are to be thankful ahead of time for the things we need. That's praying without ceasing. You know, prayer is not asking God for things. God has already given us freely, what does the Bible say? All good things have been given. So real prayer is thanking God for giving us all real things. So during the day when there a need arises, I thank you, Father God, that you have supplied this need. I thank you, Father, that I have no pain in my body this morning. I thank you, Father, that I'm not tired. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's prayer. That's praying without ceasing. That's giving him thanks for all things that you need. And God works as you give thanks. And you'll see how and why this all works together. But that's what praying without ceasing means, is to trust Him all, every day in all things, by giving thanks for providing you with all things. We're not saying, God, oh, please help me this morning, help me get out of bed, and then just leave it at that. Because nothing will happen, I can guarantee you that. God's already said, I already sent Jesus, He helped you. Just receive it. How? With thankfulness. So it says, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. I'm going to say that again. This is the will of God in Christ concerning you. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything, what? According to His will, He hears us. And if we know He hears us, then we know we have the petition that we have asked of Him. So many people get that scripture all messed up. They say, well, yeah, you got to ask according to God's will. We just read what God's will was. Pray without ceasing. It says, for this is, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. If you pray according to that will, God hears you. You know that if He hears you, you've already got the petition that you've asked of Him. It's easy. What is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you? You pray without ceasing and with thanksgiving. That is the will of God. So if you pray according to that will, you've already got it. Praying according to the will of God is not praying according to, oh yeah, God decided that, you know, He needs you sick a little longer, Lorelai, because He hasn't quite taught you the lesson He's needing to teach you. That is not the will of God. Bible will always interpret Bible. What does the Bible say about the will of God? There it is. We pray with thanksgiving in the name of Jesus. That is the will of God. And whatsoever thing you ask for, you pray for in that name, you will receive, is what Jesus promised us in John chapter 6. Now, how many of us really have a revelation of that scripture? Because I tell you, if you do, thankfulness will just begin to pour out of you. Because that's a wide open limit there. I mean, my goodness, whatsoever thing you desire, when you pray, believe you receive. When you believe you receive something, that's when thankfulness comes in. If you've already received it, you must thank God for it. And you will have it. You see, thankfulness is our receiving part. It's how we receive from God. The prayer of faith is not asking God to move on your behalf. I just said that, and much is said in the Bible about the prayer of faith. It's not asking God to move on your behalf. It is thanking Him that He already has. Jesus said at the cross, it is finished. I've released everything. Everything that He died for was given. So thanksgiving, or the prayer of faith, is really not asking God to move on your behalf, but it is thanking Him that He already has. He's already given you everything you need, every blessing. And when you thank Him, what happens? What is really going on? When you understand the power in thankfulness, it'll help you to trust thankfulness more, to operate more in it. So thanksgiving, listen up carefully for the rest of where I want to go with this. Thanksgiving receives the grace. What is the grace? We're taught grace supplies. God's grace is sufficient. God has supplied everything you need by His grace through Jesus Christ. When Jesus died, He died for everything that could, every negative thing, to reverse it. He reversed the curse. Remember we talked about the curse being death is on everything? Everything is on its way out, no matter, even if it's your body, you're getting closer and closer to death. Everything in the natural, it's here today, it's gone tomorrow. We know that. That's just the world. That's the nature of the world, okay? We're not arguing that, because the world is under a curse. But last week we saw how we've been delivered out from. We shouldn't all be operating in that curse. We are of the kingdom of God. We're in the world, but we're not of the world system. We operate in a different system. God's kingdom. So we're set free from all of that. And, you know, thanksgiving receives that grace that Jesus gave us freely at the cross. He took all of our pain and punishment, the Bible says, for our sin. So if Jesus suffered, Steve, for your sin, why are you still suffering for it? Because the punishment of sin ultimately is death, right? So death comes in all kinds of forms. It comes, how do you die? How do people naturally die? Well, they get sick. They have all kinds of diseases. They grow old and feeble, and their bodies begin to break down. Their cells begin to degene. And that's how we die. It's a natural process. But Jesus died your death. And he says, I've set you free. So I said last week, you don't have to die. The enemy, this world cannot control your death. Why? Jesus has given that control back to you. And that's awesome. We are the deciding factor in how long we're going to stay on this earth. And you and I are the deciding factor on how well you're going to live on this earth. Jesus has done it all. He became impoverished. He became poor. He was so poor, he was stripped. He had nothing left when he hung on the cross. He was naked. He didn't even have clothes. Why? So that you could be abundantly enriched. Everything Jesus took in his body, the curse of all death, all of the things that were brought into this world through Adam's sin, Jesus Christ took it in himself. He died your death. He died as you. And the Bible tells us we were put to death in him so that when he was raised from the grave, he was now free from all of that stuff. He was never going to die again. And you are as he is. Neither will you. You are not subject to death any more than Jesus is. You're his body. You're an extension of who he is on the earth. Yes, he's up there at the right hand of God in heaven, but you're his body. So do you think that his body is going to die? No. His body, I mean, that's silly. You know, your head's alive, but your body's dead. No. It's the head that controls the body. So God has given us freely all these things back through Jesus Christ, if you and I, and we can't earn them. We can earn none of these blessings. It's a free gift. And so that's what I'm talking about this morning. When you see that and understand that grace that God has given us freely, then thanksgiving receives the grace. The supply has already been provided to us through the cross. Okay, so your thanksgiving receives that grace. Thanksgiving is yours and my acclamation of our faith in the love of God or in God's grace or his supply, his provision that he gave us freely through the cross, through Jesus Christ. Now, where I want to go with this morning is the definition of the word thanksgiving is actually quite surprising. And it'll open up our eyes to see and understand more clearly what thanksgiving really is and what it does for us. Now, if you look in the Old Testament, you are going to see a totally different definition given for the word thanksgiving than in the new one. But first of all, and both of them are equally as important to us understanding. So the definition of the word thanksgiving in the Old Testament, it's actually the Hebrew word it is a Hebrew word for thankful, and it's taken from the word yada, Y-A-D-A-H. And the word yada actually means to use or to hold out the hand. To use or to hold out the hand. And the word yada, the first part of that word yad, so the root part of this word, or the root of this word, is actually the open hand. Yada, thanksgiving, the open hand. God has already opened up his hand, the Bible says in the book of Psalms, and he satisfied every living creature. God has opened his hand. Who is at the right hand of God? Jesus. That's how he's opened his hand and satisfied every desire of every living creature. Through Christ, through the cross, right? And thanksgiving is the extension of your open hand to receive it. The open hand, the extension, or it says the worship. Every time you raise your hands in worship to God, you're extending, you're opening up your hand to him to receive. That's what it's about. God did not tell us to offer up thanksgiving every day, continually, 365 days a year, because he wants to hear the thanks from us. It's not about God's ego. It's all for your good. Do you understand? Don't look at it like God needs and craves thankfulness from his kids. Some people do need that, and it's all about their ego. God hasn't got the ego that sometimes we think he has. This is for our good. So the open hand is for us to receive what God has already freely supplied through Christ. But in the New Testament, the Greek word for thanksgiving is the word eucharistos. We hear that in church, Eucharist. This word actually means well-favored. Eucharistos for thanksgiving or thankful in the New Testament is eucharistos. The first part of that word is eu, which means good, which means well. But the second part of that word is charistos. And it's taken from the word charizomai. I think you pronounce it charizomai, which actually means to grant as a favor, in kindness, to pardon, to rescue, deliver, freely give, freely forgive. In other words, the word charizomai is the word grace. If you take the word grace in the New Testament and you look it up, I went there and I checked it out, it's the same word, charizomai. The same word for thankfulness. The same word for thanksgiving is grace. That's why we say, let's say grace before we eat. It's the same, interchangeable, well-favored. So how does this all work in, and what has this got to do with us being thankful? When the grace of God is revealed in our hearts through the revelation of Jesus, what is grace? Let's stop here for a moment. It is undeserved favor towards you. That's what grace is. In other words, I like to use the analogy that Stephen, I can't remember what his last name was. Steve, what was the name of those books we read years ago, Michelle? Steve. McVeigh, thank you. He says it this way. If you're speeding down a highway, Steve, and I mean, you're really speeding, and the policeman pulls you over for speeding, and he comes up to the window and says, you know, hi there, license, and can I have your license, your registration? And Steve's like sweating bullets because he knows, he's like, oh, this is going to be a big one. And the policeman goes away, and you know how they go to their car and they punch in your name and make sure that, you know, you're not running from the authority or anything like that. And then, in the meantime, Steve's just sweating, but the policeman comes back and says, well, Steve, you know, here, he says, I've decided that, you know, I'm not going to charge you today. What is a speeding ticket? $180 or something? Anybody know? Is it that much? Well, let's say it's $180 for the speed he was going. It was deadly. And the policeman comes back and says, well, Steve, you know what? I'm going to let you go today. I'm not going to charge you for the speeding today. And Steve is like, thank goodness. And he says, in fact, he says, I'm going to give you $180. And Steve is like sitting there and his mouth is hanging open and he's like, are you kidding me? What is this? That's grace. Grace is getting what you don't, or what you, is not getting what you do deserve. Okay? He deserved a speeding ticket. He didn't get it. But it's getting what you don't deserve. That's grace. It's by turning around and giving you the thing that you owe free. Now, in the natural, that makes no sense because it is totally opposite the world's way. Grace doesn't make sense to the natural thinking. And that's why so many Christians, so many of God's people don't believe in grace. They cannot go there. It's too good to be true. And it is. I mean, that would be too good to be true, right, Steve? If you were flying down the highway and you knew you were breaking the law by way over and the policeman stopped you and instead of giving you a ticket for $180, he gave you $180, you would say, no, I'm dreaming. I must have gone to heaven. I must have died in a car accident. There's just no way. So it's very hard, but that's what grace is. It's God's undeserved favor. Jesus Christ hung on that cross. You didn't get the pain and the punishment that your sins deserved. He got it. Okay? That's mercy. And that's shown when the cop doesn't, or the policeman does not give you a speeding ticket. But then Jesus, after he dies, he turns around and he gives us all of his blessings. He gives it everything to us free. That's when the policeman says, here, I'll give you $180. That's grace. And when that grace is finally realized in your heart and it's revealed to you, I mean, you can't help but be overwhelmed and be, thank you, Jesus. Like, there's no way I could live a million lifetimes and ever, ever pay you for what you've freely done for me and given me, right? So when you finally see that, when the grace of God is revealed in your hearts through the revelation of what Jesus really did for you on that cross, the grace in your hearts, now listen carefully, because this will help you to understand Thanksgiving. That grace that is revealed in your heart, grace is the undeserved favor through Christ, it rises up and our response is thankfulness, okay? Thankfulness has to be effortlessly. It has to be something we can't even stop. Our thankfulness, our words of thanksgiving is the revealed grace. Think of it this way. It is the revealed grace in our hearts released into the natural to change or supply us with the gift that has been revealed. Does that make sense? I'm going to say that again so you get it. When that grace, that undeserved favor and kindness and goodness of God is revealed in our hearts, it rises up and it takes on words of thanksgiving. When we speak out those words of thanksgiving, what are we doing? We are releasing the grace of God into our natural circumstances, and this grace will produce what's been revealed in our hearts. Whether it's we saw ourselves healed, whether we saw prosperity, whatever it is you saw in your heart through the revelation of God's grace through Christ, and you are beginning to be thankful, words begin to come out of you of thankfulness, you are actually releasing the grace into the natural to produce what it is that was in your heart. Do you understand that? The Holy Spirit. Another question, how do you get this revelation? How do you get, you know, because I've taught it, that all things begin with a revelation of Jesus. The good life is the revelation. It is Jesus Christ and him revealed. So the Holy Spirit, through God's word, reveals to our hearts the revelation of the goodness of God. Jesus Christ and him crucified. God's provision for us through the cross. Now, by faith, we believe in our hearts what he has revealed. When God reveals Jesus on the cross and his grace for you through that cross, then your heart begins to believe, okay? By faith, we believe it in our hearts and what he has revealed to us. And our response is thankfulness. It's a response. It's not a work of the flesh. It's a fruit of the revelation in your heart. And your thankfulness now releases the grace, that supply that you need into your natural circumstances. And every time we are thankful for anything, we are releasing the grace of God into the natural in that circumstance. When we give thanks for our food, what are we doing? We are releasing the grace of God on the food. It is now supernatural food. It's not contaminated. People, exactly, it's blessed food. But that's grace. You're releasing grace. How do we do that? Thank you, Lord, for providing us this food. And then you don't have to worry about what you're eating. Even if you pick up anything deadly, it will not hurt you. So many people believe that we are what we eat. And that, you know, if you want to live a long, healthy life, you got to eat right. Well, that goes totally contrary because the world is cursed. I don't care how healthy and how organic your food is. It's coming from dirt that is cursed. And so your food is cursed. But when you thank, when you're thankful for your food, you are gracing your food. And it is blessed food. And even if you didn't cook the turkey right, it won't hurt you. You know, when we give thanks for anything in our lives, when we give thanks for our spouses, what are we doing? We're releasing grace into their lives. They maybe don't know it, but grace is what? Undeserved favor. When we give thanks for our children, Steve, we're releasing the grace of God into your life. Undeserved favor. It'll hunt you down. Things will just start going good. This is a powerful way to live. Give thanks for all things. Give thanks in all things. You want to see the grace of God real in your life, in the lives of your children, in the lives, in the things around you? Speak grace. Be thankful at all times. Let it continually be in your mouth. Because you are continually gracing everything. That's why we are to be thankful. In the Apostle Paul says, I've learned how to abound and how to live with lack. I'm thankful. I'm always thankful. I'm always releasing the grace into whatever it is I have. I'm thankful for the little. Guess what? The minute I'm thankful for little, God makes it much. Why? Because I'm gracing it. You know, when we bring our tithes and offerings before the Lord, when we're thankful, we're releasing the grace on that, and God's taking it and compounding it and sending it back your way. You're gracing everything in your life by being thankful. Does that make sense, Em? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And the power in it. It is the power to receive and to see the work of God, the grace of God really work in your lives. So, in everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ concerning you. The amount of grace you and I experience in this lifetime is not up to God. He's already given all grace to you through Christ. My grace is sufficient for you, he says. But it's up to you and I. Now, grace is not something that's coming down at us at all time. It does not flow to us like we've been taught. Okay? Grace flows through us. Why? Because Jesus Christ is grace. The Bible says the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Where's Jesus? He's in you. The grace of God is in you. The grace is not flowing to you from God. It's flowing through you because the grace is in you. And all that thanksgiving does is when grace arises as a revelation, and thanksgiving just releases what is already in you, which is God's grace, which is Jesus. So we need to keep our focus on, not on the things in the natural that, you know, as soon as you get your eyes on the natural and you see things, you know, it's easy to complain, very easy. Very, very easy to murmur and complain all the time. But the more you focus on the negative side of your life and the things in your life that are wrong, the more you are going to complain and be down and negative and murmur. But you know what? That's why, and I've been teaching the last 3 weeks, get your eyes off of self. There's no good thing you're going to see in self. Just continually keep your eyes on the goodness of God. You know, just like if the same scenario with Steve, he's driving down the highway, he's breaking the law like crazy. The guy stops, and he's so gracious to Steve, he doesn't even nail him 180, he gives him 180. So for the rest of the trip back to Mom's, he's thinking about himself and what a lousy stinker he is. Guess what? He's getting more and more down. He's getting, you know, he's focusing on how he didn't deserve it. And he's beating himself up. By the time he gets to Mom's, he doesn't even want the money. He can't take it. It's just, you know, he's beat himself up so bad. But if he'd have focused on the goodness of that police officer, you see, it would have lifted him up and he'd have been shouting hallelujah all the way home. Can't wait to go home and tell my mom that I got $180. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if you focus on his goodness all the time, that's going to be the treasure of your heart. And out of that, that's where the revelation of becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. And the thanksgiving now just becomes stronger and stronger and more obvious. As Christians, it should be a life of continual thanksgiving. Because we have been set free. We have been given everything freely. And there's no good thing the Bible says that he will withhold from us. He's given it all to us freely. And so we ought to be thankful. And when we do come up against like we said last week, you will have tribulation, you'll have trial. Be of good cheer. In other words, cheer up. I've already overcome it. Just be thankful. Just continue to give thanks for the things you need, and God will just begin to flow in your life, like the grace will begin to flow and fix everything. Because it's all by grace anyways. It's all by his undeserved favor. So keep your focus on his goodness, and grace will flow out of your mouth through your thanksgiving into your situation and change your things for the good. Now this morning, as we come together, I would like to, we're going to have the partake.